Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't bring the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby. Today, I'm joined by Trevor Grimes, who is the lead content strategist over here at Scrappy ABM. Trevor, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Mason. Let me just start off by saying we are so back. I just want to say that.
We are so back.
We are so back.
I got to figure out what episode it was, but Trevor was previously on an episode of Scrappy ABM where we dug into specifically how do you effectively repurpose content for an ABM program. Today, we're going to talk about what do you do to create net new assets for your overall account-based marketing program. So we're just going to go truly stage by stage, and this should hopefully be a super tactical breakdown that will help you think through the kinds of content you need at every stage of your ABM program. So before we dig into it, Trevor, can you just outline, as we think about account-based marketing programs and the overall account progression model, what are the core stages that every account will go through in their journey towards becoming your customer?
Yeah. So, I mean, we follow these same four or five-ish, depending on what level we're at, but super simple. We've got awareness. We've got initial engagement. We've got meaningful engagement. And then we've got conversion. And then in the off chance that something didn't convert or you've let an account lapse, we have some re-engagement tactics as well. So you can pretty much take an audit of all your existing content. That's including websites, web pages, emails, webinars, not just blogs and social posts. Like, you can take all those things and basically go through and just put those in each of those categories in some way. There's nuance to each of those, of course. But if you just kind of go as binary as possible, and like it either goes here or it doesn't go here, you can go through and take an afternoon and essentially put all your content in one of these stages and see immediately like what gaps you have across these stages and where the opportunities to create more, to repurpose, to reuse, to throw away. Like, just take an afternoon and look at what you have and try to fit it into those stages, and you have honestly got a pretty good idea of what your content looks like and where it might be failing or just not connecting at all.
Biggest question before we dig into highly tactical concepts would just be, Trevor, our content serves multiple purposes for our entire audience. How do I put it into just one category? I'm sure we've never heard that. So Trevor, I'm curious, as you think about specifically categorizing content that may be multi-purpose, how do you determine the right stage for a piece of content to sit within?
First of all, I would say, like, whoever says that, like, you are absolutely right. For the most part, like, you have pieces of content that fit really well into the awareness stage. But as soon as a prospect has laid eyes on that, like whether it's your homepage or a blog, it's no longer awareness. They know who you are. At least they know your name. So that is, we've got to move that into initial engagement stage, because we've got to start thinking about how are we positioning ourselves with this piece of content. So really, it's like, the hardest part about content is that you have to be super subjective about something that is objective, and you have to think about those questions. So, I mean, really, if you think about the common pain points that the target personas experience, what industry trends or challenges or insights can you use? What are keywords? What are the most common entry points to this piece of content? Like, those kind of questions you can start asking and start asking, like, how is it distributed? What is the goal of this piece when they get it? And that should get you most of the way there. If you look at a blog and you're like, okay, where does this go? Well, just think about, how is somebody going to come upon this? How is it distributed? What do you want them to do after they read it? And that should give you a pretty good idea. If you just want them to read it and just say, that's a cool company, like, see you later, like, maybe that's an awareness thing. But if you have an idea of something to do after, or better yet, you have a call to action within that blog for them to read another blog or go listen to a podcast episode or go watch a video, you've got an idea that this is an initial engagement piece where I want them to stay in this loop of consuming my content or consuming our content, learning more about us. So there's 100 questions for each stage. If you're me, just think about, what do you want them to get from it and what do you want them to do next? And that kind of sets you up for a pretty good idea of where it should fit into the progression model.
Yeah, I love that specific last question, which is, when we think through what do we want them to do next? That has typically been the biggest thing when I think about content auditing that helps me determine the right place for that content to go. Yeah. Because really, that is then the indicator of, this is conversion-based content, or this is more focused on the overall just brand awareness piece. So I love that call out. Now, Trevor, as we then think through what content assets should live in the awareness stage that help to build that brand affinity overall, what are the kind of standard assets that you're seeing that drive engagement for target accounts and awareness?
I think the very first thing is actually, a lot of times the first thing I'm looking for is does somebody have social media content that is strictly educational or thought leadership in some way? And I don't mean like you only promote your product or your service every single piece. Like, do you have content out there that is literally just educating, that is, you know, you can use your own stats and like experience in that, but it's just strictly for educating. You're not asking anybody to do anything. That's like the first thing. Does this company post consistently or, you know, often enough? Do they have a CEO or do they have a team of people who are consistently posting these kind of things? Because that's where people are going to most likely find you first. Then you've got blogs, of course, and blogs can go all over the place. I mean, a blog can convert people depending on what it's about. But again, we're thinking very much educational. We're giving as much as we possibly can, and we're not asking for anything except for you to continue reading other things we're putting out. Those are kind of the first two things. Like, you definitely have, if you do like research or you do industry insights or reports, anything that is like, again, like what are the top SEO trends for 2026 in, you know, SaaS, whatever that is, just those kind of things that are, I guess those are like the listicle type things that again are very, very educational, but just sort of set you up as the expert in this field. And I should say with the caveat that don't go and like write like 20 listicle blogs today and think you're filling up awareness content, because there's also instances where there's like way too much and we're over educating the audience on the wrong aspects. You know, we deal as, if you're a SaaS company, you're dealing with different trends and things going on in the industry and other merchants or other vendors or integrations and those kind of things. And you can get caught up in trying to explain how all these other things in your realm work. And it's okay to have those kind of things, but the ultimate goal is back to what we just started with. Like, what do you want them to do after reading this? Are they going to go read the top 10, whatever, of 2025 or 2026 or whatever, and know that they should come to you or they should consider looking at you for some of these things? Or are you just creating a listicle blog for the sake of having content out there? So those kind of things are something to think about. And again, you can use webinars and podcasts. Like, I think an hour-long webinar about some super deep thing is probably not going to be the best in the awareness stage if you have a shorter podcast that you were on, or if you can share a clip. I mean, I've used clips of podcasts that work really great. You can embed those in emails. You can drop those quickly into LinkedIn messages or whatever, like those kind of things. We're at this point, we're thinking like, we don't have a lot of, their attention and we can't ask for a lot of it right now. So what are kind of pieces can we give them that are highly educational, highly valuable, don't ask for anything back, and are quickly digestible and with the short attention span that they have with us.
I love that simple framing around the awareness stage of this is ideally high volume searched items that are blog content, or it's short form content that provides some form of value. Like, there's no real ask at this stage of like, hey, thanks for engaging with the content. You should book a meeting. Or it's not even necessarily focused on product. It's more focused around the category, the problem, and making sure that they understand something that they don't currently know about that is related ideally back to your category, your vertical, your product. But that's really it. So I love that as awareness stage content. Yep. When we then think about the nuance of initial engagement content, I think a lot of people get confused between awareness and initial engagement on the different needs of those stages. So when you think about initial engagement content, what are the kind of content assets and topics and types that we're seeing here?
I'm trying to make it like super simple. If we're just thinking about like, we've got a new opportunity in our pipeline and we're now emailing and they've made it through this first sort of nurture sequence that we're calling awareness, where they've read a blog or two and they've clicked links and they've checked out some of those things. You know, they're not knocking at our door asking for us to work with them yet, but we know that they are actively looking for solutions and they may have engaged with the website, LinkedIn, blog posts, or anything that we've shared, and they're problem aware at this point and they're exploring potential options. We can assume here. So content at this stage should really position your company as the best choice to address those challenges, but we're still not going for like hard sell yet. We are still trying to give more than we are asking. And now we are going to kind of push them more towards like solution oriented blog posts. So now it's not so much about industry trends of 2025. Instead, it's like, are you a this industry person struggling with this kind of thing. And the blog title is not going to say, like, here's why we're the best. It's just going to say, are you this person struggling with this problem? And they're going to be like, well, yes, I am. That's kind of why I'm looking around here. And so we're thinking about the primary pain points that they're going through, like the concerns or objections. This is also a really good time to handle like objections that they may have right off the bat. Like they haven't came to you and said, this is what I'm, you know, this is my objections to this. So you've got to do a little bit of research before, but you should know sort of what are the common objections based on past sales or whatever. What are the common point of view shifts you've got to make? And these are the kind of things where you're kind of sprinkling those in. And it's positioned as an educational way. Again, we're not saying like, don't use this brand, use us instead. That's not a point of view shift. The point of view shift is like, they expect these sort of hurdles, or they expect integrations to take a lot of time, or they expect like fees to be a certain amount, or it should take 6 months to integrate this new product with their stack or whatever. Like those are the kind of objections that we can start handling that are educational, and we're letting them know there is a better way. And it might be us, you know, it might not be us, but it might be us. You're on our website reading about this. We kind of know what we're talking about. So that's kind of how we're thinking about that. So that's the kind of like the solution oriented blogs. Again, if we can take like webinar clips that are positioned around some of those things, if you're a good webinar host and you're kind of asking these kind of questions before, you have these blog clips, or sorry, these webinar clips ready to go because you've asked these questions to handle objections and point of view shifts. If you have a LinkedIn article or like a newsletter, or you just wrote a really lengthy LinkedIn post about this, here's a good way to share that. And I do mean like just share that to your LinkedIn. I've had success. We've had success with just sharing things directly in LinkedIn DMs, just to be like, hey, we see these kind of things. I saw you mention this, like, check this out. We can get into a little bit more detailed, like pain point based white papers, and maybe even some case studies or tidbits of case studies. Again, we don't have a ton of their attention yet, so we really have to be careful with how much we're sending them and the links of things that we're sending them. But we're still like, we're getting more on their pain points. We're letting them know that we kind of understand what they're doing and what they're going through, and that we can solve it, but we're not asking for anything yet. We're still just wanting to educate and keep them in our realm. That's the whole goal. We want to keep them in our realm and be very like pro us at this point.
When I think about it, it's pretty simple of just, do we educate on the problem and start to frame solutions? Like, yeah, that's initial engagement. And if people engage with problem content, that means they're typically looking for some form of a solution. So that is initial engagement. I'm then curious, as you think about meaningful engagement, I think these are the three stages that people get the most confused as their intent and purpose. So what kind of content are we typically seeing and engaging at that meaningful engagement stage?
Yeah. So, I mean, at this point, we can assume that through our education, us providing information with them, and you know, sometimes a prospect can fast track to this point if they've filled out if you have like a questionnaire or something at some point of entry point, and we kind of understand, but let's just assume that we got this prospect or this opportunity from the very beginning, and they've been through to, you know, a nurture sequence. They've had some interaction with us on LinkedIn. They're showing intent, and we can assume that they're both problem and solution aware at this point. Like they understand that they have a good idea of their problem. We've educated them well on ways to fix it and ideas around how to go about it. And they're also solution aware, and we're the solution that they're hoping they're going for. So now we want to really go deeper into like solving their issues with clear explanations of why we're like best fit for them. And this is where we can actually start really sort of flexing here. You know, like we're not sending an email that just says, hey, you want to buy from us. Like we're still at this point, we're providing a lot of social proof. We're doing case studies. We're showing like ROI and business impact analysis. So maybe competitive comparison guides, if you have some of those things, or if you're allowed to, I know there's legality with some of that, but if you're allowed to do some comparisons, some more technical white papers, product demo. Like this is what I'll say, like if you have a product demo or you can record a quick demo, like do that. It actually works really well. Don't even try to get them on a call. Let them see the product demo themselves. Make a video real quick walking through it. Give them everything you would give them on a call, because if they see that you can actually work and actually do it, like, man, when they come to the call, they're like qualified themselves. So I get some pushback on being like, I should send a demo video. Like, yes, like record yourself real quick on Loom, walk through it and send it straight to them. Like, I made this for you. Even if you didn't, even if you made a generic one for a few different people, but just be like, I made this for you. But product demos and like feature walkthroughs, you know, anything that is like an implementation roadmap to show them that actually doesn't take 6 months. We can do it in like 2 months, and we can actually cloud host your whatever, you know, whatever, so you can keep working and those kind of things, like tool, like interactive tools and builders and calculators too, like all those kind of things where you can give them the most like content and information and viable like reasons to buy from you at this point, like just start giving it to them. Give them everything. And of course you can have a PS, like if you want to skip all this, like we could let's find time to talk. Like I'm not saying don't start asking for, you know, meetings at this point, but still don't be like hard on it. Like let's keep educating and getting somebody like in there, like really in there.
Yeah. I love the simple framing of meaningful engagement is all solution oriented content. So like the standard that I always tell people is like product page, pricing page, schedule a call page, but they didn't book a meeting. Like if they're engaging those kinds of assets, they're ready to like,
yeah,
figure, like that's the time where I typically am saying, all right, let's trigger outbound and focus at that point on then the conversion stage. So when we think about conversion stage content, what are you typically seeing at this stage?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's like, if we could make like a targeted product page, if we can just make a product page that you already have that exists and just duplicate it, strip down some of the stuff and make it as specific for them as possible. Maybe put like, embed the demo video, if just to give them one last run through. And like, really at this point, like they should be pretty much ready. And even just sending them like a page of, the reason I'm saying use a product page is because at this point, like I'm not assuming that they're bought in yet, because if they would have, they might've actually booked already. So at this point I want to keep working and showing them proof. A product page that is a little bit more targeted to them with, you know, a headline that is like, if you are this person having this problem, this is how we fix it. And this, here's the proof. Here's all the people we've helped. Here's the results they've had. Here is, you know, if you can put save how much money and all this stuff, and then a demo video. And then are you ready to make this happen? Like, here's how you can do it. Three-step plan, schedule a call, book a demo, whatever it is. Like, it'd be so easy at this point to be like, oh, we've been sending them all this stuff for months and like, they should be ready. Let's just send them a page that just says book a demo. And it's like, you know, that could work, but why not? Like, if you've already got a solution or product page, like just duplicate it, make it a little bit tighter, more specific on them. Give them a reason to be like, okay, I'm here. I'm seeing all this. They've been giving me all this information. Maybe I've got a few other people I'm looking at, but now I'm at this point where I've got to make a decision. Like, let's start, you know, make it something that's easy for them to share with anybody else they may have to get by onto. I think like if you just send them, hey, check out this page and it's a schedule now call, like, you know, that's not something they're going to share. But if it's a product page that feels very, very much like made for them, like almost like it was made for that exact person, they're going to share it with their colleague or their, you know, their boss, whoever they have to get the buy-in with. And those kind of things, whatever you can make as targeted as possible. It doesn't always have to be one-to-one, but something like that really solidifies that you are the solution, you're the product for them.
I just love the simple call out of, if they were ready to book a call, they would have already. It's like, yeah. Don't shoot another, hey, thanks for checking out our website. Do you want to book a call? If you have a standard website, there should be a book a meeting link at the top right-hand corner. So instead, like you just nailed it. It's ROI, it's case study, it's de-risking the move forward decision, yeah. Because they see, oh, they work with people just like us and they've had success with people just like us. We should go ahead and move forward. So yeah. I love that call out. Trevor, as we think about content strategy overall at different stages, is there anything that we specifically missed that people should be thinking about as they map out the kinds of assets they need to be creating for their ABM programs?
I mean, we talked mostly about content and stuff. And I think like, for a lot of this, the delivery of this is probably going to be through email and, you know, maybe a few LinkedIn DMs. And I would say like, take, you know, you're just spending this time mapping out this content and putting it in places and kind of figuring out how to use it and maybe you're creating new or repurposing. And so I would just say like the next piece of advice is to like audit your previous emails, look at your previous email sequences and start kind of putting those in the same place as well. Like, do you even have awareness emails? Have you ever sent an email that didn't end in like a call to action to book a call with you? And you may have that, but a lot of people don't. And a lot of times you miss the shot that way. So as you take all this content, start thinking about the delivery of it. And if you're sending an email and you're sending this something that you've deemed an awareness level piece of content, don't put it in an email to a person who is in the awareness stage and start asking for like, check out this blog, and then book an email, like I book a call. Like that's not how that's going to work. I would encourage more people to write emails with no call to action to book a call, but instead a call to action to respond to this email with any questions. It seems to me, in my experience, that getting a reply to either an outbound email or any kind of email sort of in the people recognize as a marketing or sales email, getting a reply is like almost unheard of. But we've seen success with that. We've seen people actually respond, like reply to an email to ask a question, to get more information, to do whatever. And, you know, not guaranteed, but you've fast-tracked them pretty far through the progression model at this point, because now you have that one-on-one conversation with them and you have the opportunity to, if you don't mess it up, to talk to them like a human. Like there is a human on the other side reading it. Just talk to them like a person, hear them out, understand what problems they're going through, and just start sending over stuff that is actually beneficial to them. Like, you know, find ways to change your call to actions from book a call to respond to this email. If you have any questions, let me know if you want to see something more specific to you. Like, check out this case study. I think it kind of works for your industry. If it doesn't, let me know, because we've worked with these industries and I'd love to know if this, you know, just start asking questions. Just talk to them. We've got far beyond the days of emails or conversations. And if they're not like producing results and clicks and opens, then they're useless. But that's not always true. You know, people are busy. People have things going on. Don't annoy them, but definitely send more than one email. I've seen post-event sequences that had one email in it and they didn't convert at that one email. So that's it. And it's kind of like, come on, people, you're busy too. You just came back from the same event. You're trying to get caught up on a Monday after everything. Like, don't expect people don't want to talk to you, but also don't treat them like just a number. Really talk to them like a human. And I think that's like the biggest thing. It's like, don't ruin this good content you're creating by delivering it in a way that is going to turn somebody off to you. That's what I should have said after from the beginning. No. But that's the gist of all that.
Yeah, the biggest unlock for us has been we've stopped asking people after a webinar or something, hey, you want to book a call? And like, I guess here's the biggest thing. We didn't ask anything because I was so against it. And now we actually follow up with people and say what was most helpful. And it has really dramatically increased our actual engagement on webinars because people want to respond. So they actually go and watch the webinar to then actually have something to say. And then we end up starting one-on-one conversations with people around their current specific challenges. That's insight and intel that we wouldn't have gotten any other way. Yeah. So just the shift, simple shift from book a call, which we weren't doing anything, to what was helpful? Is there anything that we missed that you still need help on? And then just providing lots and lots of content has started lots of conversations that have ended up turning into pipeline 6 to 9 months later.
I'll add to that a little bit with a pre-webinar follow-up, especially with people who maybe haven't registered yet. Throw in the, hey, by the way, do you have any questions that you want to make sure get asked on this during the Q&A? Just let me know and I'll make sure that it gets asked. And if they're not going to it, they might be more like, that's the reason, like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. I can like just send this guy some questions. I didn't want to go because those Q&A things never work out. There's 1,000 people that can't ask questions. But, and if they are going, then they're definitely more pumped about going because you just like, if they respond with a question or a few questions, like you already know how to like answer that on the webinar and make sure that their immediate problems are seen and heard on the webinar. So I'd say like before, ask them if they have any questions that they want to make sure get asked during the Q&A. And then after, like you said, like ask them what was the best part and if they have any more questions that didn't get answered.
I love it. Well, Trevor, thank you so much for joining me today. If people want to find out more about you, where would you point them?
Just go straight to LinkedIn. I engage with the Scrappy ABM page quite a bit, so you should be able to find me pretty easily.
I love it. Well, again, Trevor, thanks so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.